Those that have joined us via the internet, we're running just a few minutes late this morning, but we're glad that you've tuned in. And we're on every Sunday morning, starting right at 11:15, usually right around 11:15. I shouldn't say right at, but we're also back on tonight at 6 p.m. And we appreciate people tuning in over the internet, and we've had a really good number of doing that. And it's good, always good to hear from people that do so. And we're glad to have you with us today, as well as those here in our building. We're very thankful for the good crowd we have this morning, and appreciate people coming out to fellowship around the Word. In Isaiah chapter 40, there's two verses here that have to do with comfort. And I know I brought messages in the past on this, but I want to talk to you about comfort in a little different light. And it's something I think that all of us in our life, day by day, we need comfort. And I'm not talking about being comfortable, like, you know, sitting in your recliner. I'm talking about peace of mind, comfort in perilous times. We all face health issues. We face economic issues. We face family problems. And when we have these problems, it's good to know that we have a Heavenly Father that loves us, and the Bible says He is the God of all comfort. And so I want us to understand where this comfort really comes from, because we need to be able to resource the comfort of God when we have situations that we need to be comforted in. And comfort comes in many different forms and in many different ways. In Isaiah chapter 40, I wanted to read this because it's in relation to the nation Israel. But to Isaiah the prophet, he said, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. But notice the next phrase is, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Comfort ye, speak ye comfortably, he says. So the idea there is that there are comforting words in the Word of God. If you look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, now, I know that sometimes in the grace circles and in the teachings that we do, people get the idea that we don't believe that God is interested in our everyday life, in the physical aspect of life, and that kind of thing. But that's simply not true. Simply because we do not have the same promises that were made to Israel in relation to physical things, in relation to ask and you shall receive. That does not mean that God does not care for us and God does not love us and that there's not comfort in the Word of God. And so I want us to understand today that God has provided a means or several means of comfort in perilous times, in difficult times. In 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 4, in verse 13, Paul says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I don't think that I have ever preached a funeral that I did not use those verses of Scripture. Why? Because verse 18 says, wherefore, comfort one another with what? With these words. There are words that bring comfort. Obviously, there are words that don't bring comfort. Look back in Job, the book of Job, said to be the oldest book in the Bible, the first written book in the Bible. In Job chapter 2, in verse 11, the Bible says, "Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came everyone from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him." By the way, just a side note here, Bildad the Shuhite probably is said to be the shortest person in the Bible. Just thought I'd throw that out there. You get it? The Shuhite. Sorry about that, folks. Y'all just have to stand up here sometime and know what goes through my mind when I'm trying to preach. It's really a circus. Job's three friends. But what we find out is that those three friends, the Bible says they came to comfort him. But do you know what Jesus said, or what Job said about these three men? He said, "You're miserable comforters." Miserable comforters. Because, you see, they were trying to use human reasoning in what was going on with Job. God had a purpose for what was going on, but they didn't understand that. They came to comfort Job, but he says, "You're miserable comforters." Well, look, if you will, over in back in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul said to the old Thessalonians, he said, "It's coming a day when we're going to be caught up together with the Lord." All of that information, and he said in 1 Thessalonians 5, "He's delivered us from the wrath to come." Comfort one another. How? With these words. There are comforting words. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." You see, God has not in any way promised us that we're going to be exempt from the trials and tribulation that this world has to offer. As a matter of fact, on the contrary, it is clear in Paul's epistles that all that live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution. We are not exempted from the hurt and the heartaches of the evil, sin-cursed world that we live in. But what we do have that other people do not have is the comfort that comes from knowing that we have a Heavenly Father that loves us, that cares about us, and He is able to comfort us in all of our tribulation. He says He comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So where is that comfort? Well, we just gave an illustration of it a moment ago. In time of death, in the time of a sorrow, when there is been hurt and heartache as a result of a loved one, where is the hope? Where is the comfort in that? What we just read, comfort one another with these words. We know that one day we're going to live eternally with our Heavenly Father in heaven forever. Look, if you will, over in Romans chapter 15. In Romans 15. In Romans 15, verse 1, the Bible says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves." You see, even though God is the comforter, it is clear. Remember what Paul said? That we that are comforted of God might be able to comfort others who are also having difficulties, who are having tribulations, trials, and so forth. But notice what he says here. "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves." Now, I think that I've used the verse many times, and I remember Brother Moore, when he'd read the verse, he'd always say, you know, we always think of ourselves as being the strong. But really, in the context, those that are strong are probably those that are not having the difficulties at the present time. Because, you know, we can all be pretty strong, folks, when everything's going good, can't we? Pretty easy to be strong when there's not any problem, no sickness, no hurt, no heartache. But there's always others who are weak. In other words, they are having problems. They're having difficulties. Well, then we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now, there is really the greatest source of comfort in this world today. The comfort of the Scriptures. Comfort one another with these words. Well, where is this comfort in the Scriptures? Well, the comfort of the Scriptures, to many people, is lost by failing to rightly divide the word of truth and failing to understand the doctrine that pertains to them during this present dispensation. There's not much comfort, in my thinking today, for people who are being taught that whatsoever you ask, you shall receive. Because I know that when there's things that they do ask for that they don't receive. Now, some people, they manipulate that around and they change it around and say, well, if you're asking outside of God's will, then that's why you didn't receive it. Well, that in itself isn't very comforting. Because then you got to figure out how you're going to ask within God's will. I mean, come on. The Scripture doesn't say anything about asking. He says, ask and you shall receive. That was a specific purpose for our specific people, for our specific time. We know that our apostle, the Apostle Paul, prayed and asked for a thorn in the flesh to be removed. Three times, and the Lord never removed it. And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now, you want to know where real comfort is today? In those words, my grace is sufficient. Now, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't pray for things. You can pray. The Bible said, make your requests known unto God. But understand that you don't have the promise of prayer that Israel had. My point in all that, and I understand all of you that are listening to me today, sure, most of all, I would assume that all of you know these things about prayer. But my point is that you come in contact with people on a regular basis who need comfort from the Word of God, but they don't have it because they don't rightly divide the Word of truth, and they're claiming promises that were never made to them. And that doesn't bring comfort. That brings discouragement and despondency. You see, people say, well, you ought not to tell people that you'll upset people that believe these things. Well, come on. If somebody is believing something that's not true, there's no comfort in that. Because eventually they're going to find out that it's not true. So when it comes to our prayer life, and there's that false comfort that people have. I remember the first time I ever flew. I was scared to death. I was already about 40 years old and never flown in an airplane. Boss told me I was going to be going to Chicago. We were going to Chicago. And so it was all new to me. I was glad he was going with me because I didn't know anything. I mean, redneck, hayseed, never been on an airplane, never been to many airports. And so we went in there and he showed me how to check the luggage, and all that kind of stuff. And I got on the plane. It was a big old plane. I mean, back there was flight from here to Atlanta wasn't a big plane. We got on a plane in Atlanta and it had 9 seats, 2 on each side and 5 in the middle. And it was almost full. And this woman got up there. And they said, please pay attention, and she starts giving this presentation about what happens, what you need to do. And I'm looking around and nobody's listening to her. And I thought, you fools need to be paying attention. I mean, this thing could crash. You need to know about how to fasten your seatbelt and all that kind of. And then right there at the end, she said, now, if you're in case of a crash, your seat will become a flotation device. And I thought, how much water is there between here and Chicago? Not very much. And I'm thinking, hey, I don't want a flotation device. I want something that'll bounce. Man, when I want something that's going to, you know, put a bubble around me. And so I was thinking when they were doing all that, I thought, you know, that's kind of false hope. That's kind of false comfort. All that stuff that they tell you. Come on, folks, I don't care what they say about the seat belt and the seat and the flotation device. If that sucker crashes, you're done for. And all that stuff, I know it's to prepare you in case of like things happen. But the fact is that that analogy is true today in much of religion because people are being given false hope and being given a false sense of security because they're told that if you will do thus and so, then God will save you. Listen, the comfort of the Scripture comes, number one, through knowing the Word of God rightly divided and primarily knowing the gospel of the grace of God and the truth of God's grace and knowing that you're saved. Because if you know that you're saved and you're sure that you're saved and you walk by faith, not by sight, then whatever happens in this life, even though it might hurt and it might cause heartache and despair, we know that one day God is going to deliver us from this present evil world. And He's going to change our vile body and fashion it like unto His own body. So there is the comfort of the Scriptures. There is the comfort of knowing that all of our sins are forgiven. You realize what today that the majority of the religious world, they don't know that. They're still claiming 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. There are people that still go every week to Mass. Well, I saw that thing the other day. I believe the Pope was in Brazil and there was millions and millions of young people and adults out there trying to get a glimpse of the Pope. All those people, they believe that they have to go through an individual to get their sins forgiven. That's not hope. There's no comfort in that. There may be a false comfort, a false sense of hope. But think about the joy of knowing that your sins are forgiven, that He's forgiven us all trespasses. As a teenage boy, we were talking about this the other night in Bible study. And fellow there kind of related the same thing to me that I've said so many times. He said, man, when I was in that religious system, he said, I was taught 1 John 1:9 on a regular basis. And he said, I put it to practice. He said, boy, every Sunday just about I was down front confessing my sins, praying for forgiveness. Well, listen, there's no more glorious truth in the world than understanding and knowing your sins are forgiven. Christ died for your sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. That's the comfort that we have through the Scriptures. There's comfort in knowing that we're saved. There's comfort in knowing that God has given us instructions whereby we can live our life. And they're not the same instructions He gave to the nation Israel. And when we try to claim Israel's instructions, and we don't abide by the word right divided, it brings turmoil to our life. And it doesn't bring comfort. The real comfort comes in believing the Bible as God wrote it to us and understanding that our instructions, our doctrine is Romans through Philemon, and that God does love us, and He loved us so much that He saved a man and gave him the revelation, the mystery for you and I in this present age. And through that information, we know how we can be saved, we know how we are to pray, we know what God has said in relation to our provision, that if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. We understand about sickness, we understand about hurt, heartache, and all those things. We understand that the things that are happening in this world that are natural disasters is not God's wrath. All of those things come about as a result of rightly dividing the Word of truth. The comfort of the Scriptures, when we understand, is a wonderful and glorious thing. You see, when God told Isaiah over there, comfort these people, comfort these people, it's not the same words that Paul's talking about when he said that God is a God of all comfort. And he says here in Romans chapter 15 that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we have hope, the hope of eternal life. So God Almighty has comforted us by His Word. There's the comfort of salvation. There's the comfort of knowing that our sins are paid for, then that our salvation is not dependent any way on us, but it's dependent totally and completely on the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did at Calvary. That's really comforting, folks. Because I know me, and I know what a mess I make of things, and I tell you, I am so thankful that I saw one day that salvation has nothing to do with anything I've done or could do, but what Christ did in my behalf. So there's the comfort of the Scriptures. There's the comfort of love. Look over in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2. In verse 1, Paul says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." Now, I don't want you to think I'm just asking for pity, that kind of thing. But I just want to use this as an illustration. Starting about this time last year, from up until now, probably, it's been about as difficult a year as I've ever had in the ministry because of things that happened. And the things that resulted from that. But I can tell you that in the midst of all of that, there was never a time when I felt despair. There was never a time when I felt things were hopeless. And much of that was brought about by the love and care of fellow saints. Because even though there were people who said some terrible things, who wrote some terrible things, who said things to other people and that kind of stuff, as I mentioned to Mary many times, you just have to understand that generally the truth's going to come out. And during that period of time, I had numerous people, including the people in this fellowship here as in other places, that called me, that communicated with me, that emailed me, and told me that they were praying for me, that they loved me, and to stay strong, and that kind of thing. And there was more than one or two situations in this past year. But the point is that God Almighty is a God of all comfort. And I found comfort in the Scriptures, but I also found the comfort of love, as He said there. If there be any consolation in Christ, if there be any comfort of love, there's comfort in knowing that God loves us, but there's also comfort in knowing that other people love you and care about you. You see, I believe that one of the greatest ways that God intervenes in our life today is through fellow saints, through other saints. Look over in Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul said, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ." You see, that comfort there, it came through several things. It came through understanding. It came through acknowledgement of truth. And He said that their hearts are knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance. So there is comfort in love. There's comfort from others. Look in Colossians chapter 4. In Colossians chapter 4. verse 10, Paul said, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister son, to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments, even if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. So there are those that bring comfort. Now, that's interesting when you contrast that with 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is at the, near the end of his life, writing from prison, and he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." That was a comfort to the Apostle Paul. You can tell, can't you? You see, he said, he knew he was at the end of his life, but he said, "There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." If you look over in verse 14 or verse 18, he says, "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." So Paul was comforted by the truth that he knew given him by God Almighty. But notice in verse 9, he said, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Antichius have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. And the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding," now notice, "the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." Now when you go back and you contrast that to Colossians chapter 4, verse 11, and he's talking about Justice and some other men there, Marcus and Barnabas, he said, "These only are my fellow workers in the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me." Now, that says volumes, folks, because not only are there those that are comfort to us, but we need to understand as fellow saints and of the household of God that we have a ministry of being a comfort to other people. And you know, there's times when you just have to let your differences, you have to put those aside, and your likes and your dislikes, and be a comfort to people. There are people that need comforting. They need our prayers. They need our support. They need to know that they're loved and that people care about them. And sometimes it's real easy for us to get this attitude of when a person is down, that's when you kick them. But no, when a person is down, it's when they need to be lifted up. They need to be encouraged. They need to be edified and built up. And sometimes it's just a call or it's a text message or an email or whatever to tell the person that you love them, that you're praying for them, and be a comfort to them. Because people need to be comforted. There are people that right here meet in this auditorium almost every week. Others that listen on the internet. And every individual here has different needs. And we don't spend much time together as outside the walls of this church. And as a pastor, I know and I understand that I have a great responsibility in trying to comfort people, and you always have to kind of balance that. Vince and I were talking about this morning, you know, how different it is with people. That you hear about somebody being in the hospital, and I've had the situation in the past where I got up and requested prayer for somebody that was having surgery, and got called the next week and said, if I'd want anybody to know I was having surgery, I'd have told them, and I don't appreciate you doing that. Don't appreciate you requesting prayer, and I don't appreciate you invading my privacy. 2 weeks later, I had somebody call me and say, I can't believe you didn't request prayer for me when I was having surgery. Excuse the French here, folks, but have you ever heard damned if you don't and damned if you do? Well, I want you to understand that I want to be a comfort to people, but I don't ever want to invade somebody's privacy. And you and I, we need to be sensitive to other people, and I know that there are times when people just want to be left alone and so forth, but there are other ways, a card, an email, or whatever, when just words can be a great comfort to people. And if you need the assistance of your pastor, or you want that, then I want to know that. But I don't want to be intrusive and veer where you don't want interference. Because people are really different. And I found out that grace believers are really, really different. When Paul said that God wanted to, you know, peculiar people, he got them. All kidding aside, there's comfort through the fellow saints. And that's part of our ministry. Because there's not a whole lot of us in this world today. And instead of fighting and backbiting and bickering, there needs to be that comfort to one another, the comfort of others. Look back in Romans chapter 1. In Romans 1. Paul is writing to this church at Rome, and he had desired to go there and be with them. He says there in Romans chapter 1, verse 10, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. You see where that comfort comes from? That mutual faith. That's why it means so much to people when you give them words of comfort. And they come from people that are of like faith. Mutual faith. We're comforted together by the mutual faith, he says, both of you and me. And then there's the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Look back in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, verse 31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Go back, if you will, then, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll wrap this up. 2 Corinthians 1. You see, the Apostle Paul was not a person that was always on top of things. Paul had problems. When he writes these verses right here, we didn't read all the way down, so I want to do that now. I want you to notice there in verse 4, he says, let's just start back in verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. In other words, he's saying there that serving Christ, bringing about the sufferings, but that's also where the consolation comes from. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. You see, there was times when the Apostle Paul was down. He was depressed. He despaired even of life. Look over in chapter 2. In chapter 2. In verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel and a door was opened to me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit. He was troubled. Because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. You see how quickly things turned around? Paul said I was in despair. He said, I had no rest in my spirit, but he said, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. So no matter how difficult the situation, no matter how bad things might be, just remember this, generally speaking, they're only temporary. They're only temporary. Say, but what if you got a terminal disease? Well, in Paul's case, when he was facing death, he said that was also temporary. Because he knew that God had preserved him to his heavenly kingdom. You see, all of us are going to face a time when there's nothing that we can do about a situation. And it may seem like it's going to last forever. But as I've shared with you before, I've always tried to remember the words of my mother-in-law, Mary's mother, who told me when we were going through some very difficult times as a young couple, she said, Steve, just always remember that nothing real bad or real good lasts real long. She said, so if it's real bad, endure it. If it's real good, enjoy it. Because neither one are going to last real long. I think that's a pretty good philosophy on life. And we need to understand that in relation to the comfort that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, and the comfort that comes through the mutual faith of other believers, the comfort of love, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the comfort of knowing the Scriptures, and above all, the comfort of the security that we have in Christ Jesus, knowing that we've been sealed unto the day of redemption. Thank God today for His unspeakable gift and the comfort that only He can bring in the most difficult of times. I hope that all of us, when we face these difficulties, like the Apostle Paul, and we have no rest in our spirit, we'll be able to, very soon after that, be able to say, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, because He has given us the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me for prayer?